Go ahead and grab your Bibles and flip with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, as always, just want to remind you that in that back corner, there are some blue softback Bibles that are a gift to you. Go ahead and keep those if you don't own a Bible. Luke chapter 11. Welcome back on this beautiful January day. Hey, I just got to make my monthly reminder that service does indeed start at 9, not 9:13, okay? It's just a pet peeve, okay? That's just me, it's my own sin. I'm not bashing you, I just have to say it, all right? Now, if you're new to Story Church, a special welcome to you. My name's Travis Cunningham, and I love serving this body here, and I love living in this city and being a part of this church. If you are newer to Story Church, you're actually picking a perfect time to jump in and consider us. What we're doing this month is we're kind of hijacking the sermon time, and we're doing a little bit of a different form of a sermon. We're still going to have a text and we're still going to talk about that text, but most of what we're going to talk about are our core values as a church, why we exist, what is a healthy church, what are we aiming for? And so last week we hit our first core value, that we are a word-driven church, that we orbit around the Word of God. We are centered on the Word of God. Every decision that we make, everything that we want to do and accomplish here at this church is downstream from what the Word of God says to us. So we are centered on the Word of God. It is the fuel for our discipleship. And then this week, what we're going to look at is prayer. Prayer being the power for discipleship. Prayer is the power for discipleship. Next week, we're going to look at community and then mission the week after that. So this week, we're going to focus on prayer. Now, just a quick reminder that these core values are not an end of themselves. The end game is not being word-driven, saturated in prayer, living in community, on God's mission. Those are great things, but the end game is that God would be glorified, more disciples would be made, and more churches would be planted. The core values that we have as a church are meant to be guardrails that keep us on mission. So if we deviate from our core values, we think we'll be on mission drift. But if we stay centered on our core values, we believe we will stay on our mission. So I said it earlier that we exist to know, live, and share the one true story. This is what we do. This is all that we do right now and into the foreseeable future. We will know God. We will know His word. We will know the gospel. We will live out the implications of the gospel. We will live out in obedience to God's word. And then we will share the faith with anyone who has ears to hear. And it's all about the one true story, that the gospel is not fictional, it's not made up, but it is a true story of redemption, that Jesus Christ reconciled us back to the Father, even though we were His enemies. And it only comes through Jesus. So that is our mission as a church, to know, live, and share the gospel. And our vision, we believe that if we stay on our mission, that our vision will indeed come to pass. And our vision is to plant a church in every city in the Inland Empire in our lifetime. And we want to send out from the Inland Empire to all nations. And I know that sounds scary and crazy and like, what are you thinking? We're brand new and there's just a few of us in this room, but I don't care. If it doesn't scare me a little bit, I don't think it's worth it. I want to be a little terrified by the vision we have for this church, and I want God to cause humility and dependence within me because of how far we're shooting and what we're shooting after. And so we want to do that. We want to train up leaders. We want to make disciples. We want to train pastors, and then we want to send them everywhere across the IE. We want to, in 10 years from now, to look back on this Sunday and be like, remember when we thought that was scary? But look now, there's a new church in Ontario and in Fontana and in Riverside and up in Big Bear and over in Upland, and there's two more in Rancho. And I just want to laugh at how small our thinking was, really. So that's our vision as a church. We have no intentions of keeping everything here and hoarding it and creating some kind of mothership, but rather, is that a Star Wars reference? I don't know. It's not. I don't know. What is it in Star Trek? What is it in Star Wars? It's called like the Death Star. Okay, well, we're not about death here. We're about life. Come on. If you're new to Story Church, we have a battle on the stage between Star Wars. Steven loves Star Wars. I don't, so it's the way it goes. We want to plant churches. That's what we want to do as a church, okay? And we believe that if we accomplish our core values, not only will we as a church become healthy, we will also become multiplying. And that's what we are after. And so we're looking at prayer this week. Prayer being the power for discipleship, the power for following Jesus with all of our life. Now, before I jump in, I just want to credit a few people who have really influenced my thinking when it comes to prayer, because I don't love plagiarism. So I want to credit them, because a lot of what I'm going to say today is from them. So there's a guy by the name of Tim Chester who wrote a book called You Can Pray. A guy by the name of Paul Miller, who wrote a book called A Praying Life, and then David Pallison, a former biblical counselor who recently went to be with the Lord. So a lot of what I'll say this morning is informed by their thoughts and their writing. So let me just come right out and give a definition of prayer. This has come straight from Tim Chester. He says prayer is coming to the Father by the Son in the Spirit. Now, I believe this is the most simple yet most compelling definition of prayer I've ever seen. And here's why. It is centered on the character of God, not on methodologies or acronyms, or not that those are bad, but it's centered completely on who God is and what an honor it is as his children to come to him. So here's what we're going to do. The outline this morning is three questions. Number one, why have we chosen prayer as a core value? Number two, how does prayer get worked out at Story Church? And then number three, what are our next steps? So why, how, and what? First question, why is prayer a core value at Story Church? Now, at one point, I don't remember when, I heard a quote from a guy named David Platt. And this quote, since I heard it, has just haunted me each and every day in the most positive sense that you can be haunted. He says, our Christianity oftentimes is more American than it is biblical. Our Christianity is more American than it is biblical. And here's what he's getting at. He says, oftentimes we who live in kind of this 21st century affluent Western world, we have taken our perceived enlightenment and our perceived education and experience, and we have taken all of those things and overlaid them on the scriptures, and we have twisted the scriptures to form fit into our Western lifestyles rather than coming to the scriptures and saying, twist my life to fit to the scriptures. We are approaching a text that is supernatural and it transcends all generations and people groups and locations. And oftentimes what we have done is we have come in and we have taken our American experience and we have deemed it biblical. And we come up with silly phrases that drive our Christianity. So we have phrases like this, if it is to be, it is up to me. Nonsense. That completely robs God of his control and sovereignty over the entire universe. If it is to be, and it is up to me, if it's truly up to me, I will make an utter train wreck of my life in my own sin. We have phrases like this, you can have your best life now. Now there's some nonsense. Okay, I'll say that again. Nonsense. There's some reasons why that's nonsense. If this is our best life now, then that tells me two things about who God is. Number one, God is not that loving. Because I don't know about you, but in this life that I'm living now, I feel the pain of my own sin and the sin of those against me. And if this is my best life now, then God must not be that loving. Number two, if this is my best life now, how terrible is eternity going to be? So we've taken these phrases and we've deemed them biblical when they're just simply American and not true, or Western and not true. Now, what does that have to do with prayer? A lot. You see, if we've taken our American mindset and we've overlaid it on the scriptures and we've overlaid it on our experience in prayer, we come to a God who is powerless, unloving, and unwilling to help us. And not only do we come to him in that, in his character like that, but we also come to him not really requesting anything of him, because everything's up to me after all. I can force by my own will what I want to experience in this life. But if our Christianity is biblical, we are confronted with phrases like this, come to me and die. And when you die, you will have life. That life truly comes through death. And you have phrases like this, Jesus saying, count the cost before you follow me. Because to follow me means picking up your cross daily. I don't know about you, but that sounds painful. But if those are true phrases, and they are, you know what that means for prayer? It means prayer is the most desperate need in our life. It means that we are coming to a God who is all powerful, all loving, and kind enough to hear us and respond to our prayers. And so prayer is only for people who are out of luck, kick while they're down, waving the white flag, realizing how spiritually bankrupt, hopeless, and helpless they are. In other words, prayer is for you and me. Prayer is for each of us. We desperately need prayer, but in order to cultivate a life of prayer, we must first cultivate a view of who God is, and we must look to his character to drive our prayer, not our experiences. We must look to the scriptures to see who God is and let that inform our prayer. And here is why prayer is so important to us at Story Church. You've heard me say some crazy things already in the last 10 minutes, like planting a church everywhere. Listen, if we want to see lost people come to faith, to have new life in Jesus Christ, you know what that is? That's called a miracle. There is nothing more miraculous than salvation, than dead hearts having life breathed into them. Salvation cannot be manufactured. I cannot twist someone's arm and make them get saved. Salvation cannot be earned. It must come by the hand of God. And not only do we want to see salvations, but we want to see money raised, resources sent, churches planted, missionaries sent all over the world, to the Middle East, to Africa, to Asia. We want to see unreached people groups all over the world have access for the first time to the scriptures and to the gospel. We want to see churches planted among them. We want to see some big out there miracles and moves of God, but not only out there, we want to see it right in here. We want to see marriages restored. We want to see children who have abandoned the faith come back to the Lord. We want to see people for the first time freed to confess honestly their sin before a merciful God. We want to see people who are in bondage to entangling sin be freed from that. We want to see people from addictions get freed from addictions. We want to see God do some things that only God can do. Therefore, we must be a prayerful people. Think about it like this. How many of you have ever been sailing? Raise your hand if you have been sailing. That's actually a surprising number of people. I've been one time and I'm not going a second. Didn't love it. So as I've experienced it in all of my vast experience of sailing, here's how it goes. You get the ship, you tie it to the dock, you clean the ship, what are they called, barnacles or something, you scrape those off the bottom of the ship, you wax it up, you throw all of your resources into the ship or the boat, whatever you call it when you're sailing, the boat, and you put your food, your water in there, you put your life vests in there. While you're tied to the dock, you raise the sails, right, and you check, is there any tears in the sail, is there any fraying in that, you fix anything that's broken, you close them back down, you make sure you have your oars in there just in case you have to row, which you're probably gonna have to row, and it's a lot of work. And then what you do is you untie that rope, you push off from the dock, you row out a little bit away from shore, you raise the sails, and you wait for the wind in order to sail. You must have wind. Now, when we are talking about prayer, we are talking about a metaphor just like a ship. Here's what we've done as a church. We've got the ship ready. We've got people on board. We've got resources. We've got our mission. We've got our vision. We've got the gospel. We've got the scriptures. We have untied from the dock as a church. We have pushed out into the middle of the harbor. We have raised the sails, and now we are begging God to send the wind. We cannot create the wind. We can't manufacture the wind. We can't make the wind come. Instead, we must humbly and dependently bow our knees before the omnipotent God of the universe and say, Father, send the wind. In order for anything I just said to happen, God must send the wind. And so we are a prayerful people, because what I have shared with you this morning, those aren't just silly little platitudes to get you hyped up. Those are things we actually desperately want to see God do. And if we want to see God do those things, we must pray. church. We must pray. So let's talk for a second about prayer. We're going to hit each of those phrases, coming to the Father by the Son in the Spirit. And my hope is is for us to see the character of God just a little bit, and for that to light within us a flame of prayer, that basing our prayer on the character of God rather than our own subjective experiences will create true, fervent, persistent prayer in our church. So prayer is first coming to the Father. Look back at Luke 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." All right, so side note real quick. In order to pray, you must be humble, right? You see from the disciples here looking to Jesus saying, "Teach us. Teach us to pray." If you don't know how to pray, ask Jesus to teach you to pray, and he will be faithful to do that. Prayer requires a posture of humility. Let's keep going. Verse 2, and he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" Jesus, first and foremost, his first lesson on prayer, his first teaching on prayer is what? Father. He points immediately to the fatherhood of God when it comes to prayer. He is teaching his disciples, and he is teaching us that prayer, first and foremost, is about coming to the Father and communing with us. And this is incredible. This is so beautiful. There's two things that Jesus will teach us about coming to the Father. Number one, he will teach us that the Father loves to hear us. The Father loves to hear the prayers of his children. I mean, think about this. How often when we think about a father, we think about a dad that's kind of distracted by the cell phone or technology or away at work or whatever else, but we're going to be taught about a different father here in the scriptures who is attentive to us, who is looking to us. He is sitting on a knee. He has grabbed our cheeks. He has looked us straight in the face, and he says, "I'm listening. I am listening to you." And not only is he listening to us, but he loves to listen to us. We do not have to convince God to hear us. God loves to hear the cries of his children, and that should free us up to cry freely. What is it on your heart, and how can you freely speak that to our Father in heaven? Our Father loves to hear us, but also our Father loves to bless us. Not only does he love to hear us, he loves to bless us. Jump down to verse 5 with me. And he, again, Jesus, says to the disciples, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, the big picture of what Jesus is teaching right there, he's doing something called arguing from the lesser to the greater. Here's what he's doing. He's talking about a friend, that if you are persistent to beg your friend for something at midnight, eventually your friend will give you what you need, mainly because he wants you to go away, not because he's your friend. But this is a friend indeed. And then he goes and he draws a beeline to the Father, and he says, "How much more will your good Father give you good gifts?" If even an evil friend will give you something because you're persistent, how much more will your Father give you? And he gives you exactly what you need. And if we saw our lives in this world exactly as God saw it, we would know that God gives us exactly what we need. And so God loves to bless us, and it frees us up in prayer to come to him knowing he hears us, and we can ask and we can seek and we can knock and we can confidently in our Father beg of him for our needs and trust that he is good in all of his dealings. We come to the Father in prayer, but we come to the Father by the Son, by the Son. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, "For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So here's what the gospel teaches us. The gospel teaches us that we at one point were in harmony with God, in right relationship with him. And then we sinned and we created separation from God. And there's this great divide between God and between man. But Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, entered into human history, and through his life, death, and resurrection, he created a bridge across that divide. And not only did he create a bridge, but he carried us across that divide so that when we were once separated from the Father in our sin, Jesus Christ has reunited us to the Father. The cross of Christ is what connects us to God. Our ability to come to the Father is not because we passed some kind of entrance exam. It's not because we saved enough money and bought a ticket. It's not because we put in enough religious effort for God to finally hear us. We come to the Father simply and solely by the merit of Christ alone. And so when we come to the Father, we can be freed up knowing the cross connects us. And when God sees you, he doesn't see any of your past sin. He doesn't see any of your current struggles. He doesn't see any of your future rebellion. When God looks upon you, he sees his beloved child in whom he is well pleased, because you are covered in the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You are connected to the Father through Christ. And so what does that do with prayer? Here's what it does, saint. Every prayer you pray is good enough because Christ is good enough. Every prayer you pray is good enough because Christ is good enough. And so however simple, however eloquent, however powerful, however weak, however long you pray, however short you pray, however frequently you pray, however infrequently you pray, Christian, every time you pray, it's as if Christ himself is breathing those words before the Father. And when the Father hears that, he says, yes and amen. I love you, my child, because of Christ Jesus. Every prayer you pray is good enough because Christ is good enough. I hope that just frees honest prayer from you. Like, you don't have to pray in King James English. If you do that, that's fine. That's cool. I don't do that. Some of the most powerful moments of communion with God I've had in prayer are oftentimes between sniffles, where my words are rambly. I don't know what I'm saying. I can't really see clearly, but what I do know is I'm in the presence of God by the merit of Jesus Christ, and he is hearing my prayers. We come to the Father by the Son, and we come with the Spirit or in the Spirit. Romans 8, 14 through 17 says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom, by the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." What does this mean for us? If you're struggling to pray, the Spirit will assure you that you're a child of God. And if a child, then an heir. And he will give you bold confidence to come to your Father. You can have utter confidence that at any time and in any way, with any posture, you can come to your Father, because the Spirit will assure you that you are a child of God. But not only that, Romans 8 continues in verses 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." If you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray, the Spirit will pray through you. And if you have groanings too deep for prayer, be confident. The Spirit is intercedes interceding for you. And right now, seated on the throne, Christ Jesus is interceding on your behalf. So if you don't even know what to pray or how to pray, two persons of the Trinity are coming to the Father on your behalf. So be confident, Saint. God hears your prayers. He knows your needs, and he knows what we need here at Story Church. We come to the Father by the Son in the Spirit. This is all about the character of God, his goodness, his love, his kindness, his mercy. So David Pallison wrote an article about the character of God and how it informs our prayer. So I'm just going to walk through the list of what he includes. I'll put it in the newsletter this coming week. You don't have to write it down. David Pallison says, because God is personal, I will seek intimacy with him. Because God is all-powerful, I will seek his help in all things. Because God is all-present, I will be confident in his nearness. Because God is all-knowing, I will not withhold anything from him. Because God is sovereign, I will gladly submit to him. Because God is holy, I will be fully devoted to him. Because God is truth, I will trust his word. Because God is righteous, I will live by his standards. Because God is just, I will trust he is operating in fairness. Because God is love, I will believe that he is doing everything for my good. Because God is merciful, I am freed to confess honestly to him. Because God is faithful, I will put my hope in his promises. Because God is unchanging, I will be confident in my secure future. If you want to pray, cultivate a view of God that is biblical here. And what the Bible tells us about God is that he is unchanging and faithful and merciful and loving and just and righteous. And he is true and he is personal and all-powerful and all-present and all-knowing and sovereign and holy. And this is the God that listens to us. So let us come to him with great confidence, and let us come to him with honest prayers, and let us come to him with bold prayers, being assured that every prayer we pray is good enough because Christ is good enough. We are a praying church because we are asking God to powerfully and mightily move in our hearts, in our church, in our city, in our region, in our country, in the entire world. And we need him to empower a move here. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot manufacture these things. We can't create these things. We're going to try our best to steward the resources he entrusts to us, but we must pray, church. And when we pray, this is the God we are coming to. And he is altogether lovely and altogether loving. This is our God. Next question. How does this value, how does prayer get worked out at Story Church? Of any value that we have here at the church, this is the most organic, if I'm allowed to use that word, most organic value we have here. So here's what you're going to see. Across our campus, at any given time, during and after the service, you're going to see people hiding in corners and up here and in rooms, hidden away, just praying one for another. And here's what I'm asking God to do in our church, to create kind of a spontaneous type of prayer here. Where if you go up to someone and you say, hey, how was your week? And they're actually honest with you. Like, hey, let me side note this real quick. If someone asks you, how's your week? Like, just be honest with them. Like, you don't have to say good. Everyone says good, right? Or busy. Those are the two answers. It was good or I was busy. But like, let's just be honest about how things are going. If you had a hard week, if you had a good week, like, let's just share those things. And when someone shares those things with you, let us be a church that is spontaneous in prayer. Hey, let's bring that need before God right now. Hey, let's praise God for what he did in your life this last week right now. So you'll see people in corners of this campus doing that all service long. We are going to pray four or five different times during a service. We pray at the opening of a service. We pray after the call to worship. We pray after we do the offering. We pray at the end of the songs. We'll pray at the end of the service, and we'll pray at the end with communion. We're going to pray throughout the entire service because, again, we are asking God to save people, grow people up into Christ's likeness, to transform by the gospel right now. And it's not just here, it's down in Story Kids where we've got kids 0 to 2. Like, you can't teach them a lesson, but you know what you can do? You can hold them and pray. You can push them around in a stroller around the building because they're having a meltdown, like level 10, and you can pray that the meltdown would chill out just a little bit. That's okay. Listen, every 0 to 2-year-old has meltdowns. There's no judgment there. And We're going to pray while the lessons are happening that God would save down there as well. We are going to pray for unreached people groups. In the back of the Story Kids guide, there's just a little map that shows where the unreached peoples are across the world. And we pray through those things with our kids. We're going to pray in our home groups. Those are different times where we're going to prioritize prayer in the life of our church, where we can slow down a little bit, share some requests, and spend some concentrated time in prayer. My own home group, we have like something like 13 kids in our group, and the first Sunday of the month, we have family night, which means everyone's there, and it's just utterly chaotic, and it's fun, and it's messy, and there's a lot of discipline happening of various children at different times, and it's good. But what we try to do, even on family night, is just for a few minutes, hey, can we take some prayer requests and spend some time in prayer? You can utilize technology to send messages to those who are in your group or those you know at this church. And hey, if you say you're gonna pray for someone, like, let's actually pray for them, okay? Let's be honest about that. And finally, the most important thing we do organizationally here is we host prayer nights. We used to do these every month before we launched, and then things just got wild and we didn't do them in the fall, but we're picking them back up this year. And we're gonna do 4 prayer nights this year. So the first one coming up will be February 5th. It's a Wednesday night in this building from 6 to 7:30. So here's what you're gonna get during the prayer night. The first 45 minutes, we're gonna spend some time in prayer. And the second 45 minutes, we're gonna call it a family meeting. So if you call Story Church home, what we wanna do is prioritize about 45 minutes just to talk through some things that are going on here. We wanna talk about the budget. We wanna walk through the statement of faith. We wanna talk about membership, if there's any issues going on. We wanna leave some space for Q&A. So we just wanna be real transparent with those things. So we'll spend 45 minutes praying and 45 minutes just having a chat. And so we'll do that 4 times. This year, make sure that's on your calendar. Here's what I don't want to see happen. I don't want to see, like, you know, 200 people to be here on a Sunday morning, and then we show up on Wednesday night, and there's like 4 of us looking at each other, like, family meeting. One of the primary ways we are going to measure health here at our church is through prayer nights. What does the prayer look like? Who is there? How is prayer going? Is God answering our prayers? Can we rehearse his faithfulness? Are we persistent in prayer? Charles Spurgeon says, Satan tempts without ceasing, therefore we must pray without ceasing. So we're gonna measure the health of our church through the prayer night. So I put it on the slide 2 times, prayer night again, okay? So show up to prayer night. That's how that value is gonna get worked out here. We do have on our app, there's a prayer request portal. You can submit prayer requests online on the back of Connect cards. Like, we are serious about prayer here. After service every week, we say, hey, if you need prayer, there's some folks up front that would love to pray with you. And we mean that. And here's what I can just confidently say about the folks that will be up here. They're not gonna be shocked by anything you can say. They're not gonna be stunned. They're not gonna be judgmental. They're just gonna bring your prayer requests in a loving manner before a merciful Father. So feel freed to pray with them after service. Final question, what are our next steps? Our next steps, start praying, right? Or keep praying. If you're not praying, man, just take a baby step, write down in your calendar, like 5 minutes of prayer when you wake up. We have so much technology that we can utilize to pray. You have messages you can send with each other. You have reminders in your phone. I have a reminder in my phone that goes off at 10:02, which reminds me of Luke 10:02, that the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. And I spend that time at 10:02 praying for like 14 seconds. God, would you save people? And that's it. Like, just little technological reminders that are so helpful. Mark your calendars for prayer night. If you don't know how to pray, if you've ever heard someone pray at this church and you've been like, wow, I wish I could pray like that person, reach out to them, say, can we get a cup of coffee and can we pray together? I heard Hector pray one time and now I go to his house every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. and we pray, or 7 a.m. and we pray. Because I want to pray like Hector prays, and he has to teach me how to pray. So meet with someone to learn to pray. Grow in your understanding of who God is and let that shape your prayer. Rehearse his past faithfulness. Look to his kindness. Look to the ways he's answered your prayers. Look to the ways he has delivered you. In my own prayer life, I kind of organize it in three different ways. These, again, are from David Pallison. David Pallison will say there's three types of prayer. There's circumstantial prayer, there's wisdom prayer, and there is kingdom prayer. So circumstantial prayers are about God changing our circumstances, changing our situations. So these are prayers of asking God for protection or for healing or for provision or for power or for preservation. God, change the circumstances around me. Wisdom prayers are asking God to change us, to change our hearts. So these are prayers of God deepening our faith, teaching us a lesson, helping us to defeat a sin, helping us to understand and apply scripture, helping us to forgive others, helping us to honor him, enabling us to honor him. These are wisdom prayers. And then there are kingdom prayers. These are God, change everything. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your glory be revealed across this world. Churches to be planted, lost people to be converted. These are kingdom type prayers. God, change everything. What I do is I just have my journal and I have two or three different things I'm praying through on any given day in each of those categories, and it helps drive those things. But what I always try to do before I pray is read through that list of who God is. And because of who he is, it shapes my prayer life. And I come to the Father with confidence, knowing he hears me, he wants to bless me, and I'm coming not by my own merit, but I'm coming by the merit of Jesus Christ, and I am coming by the power of the Spirit, not by my own power. So I can come to him weak and free, knowing that the Spirit empowers my prayers. And so that's just what shapes my own prayer life. And so if you need to do something like that, do it. But the main goal is just take a baby step, take a next step, and form a habit. Just like we talked about with the Word last week, you're not going to read the Word till you read the Word. You're not going to pray till you pray. So let us spend some time in prayer. And I'm going to close out the service in this way. We're going to spend some time in about 5 minutes of prayer, just like we did last week. So if you don't know the person around you, introduce yourself in a second here. And if you're not comfortable praying publicly, that's okay. We just want to be free here. Just say, I'm not comfortable praying in public, or go to the restroom or go get some fresh air. I think that heater's been blasting because I'm up here sweating. I got some back sweat going right now. So if you need some fresh air, go get it. But here's what we're going to do. We're gonna categorize two prayers for each of those categories. So we should, I don't know, do we have the prayer requests? There they are. So I put them in each one. So ask God to do something in your life. What circumstance do you need him to change? Ask him to do something in someone else's life. Ask him to enable you to defeat a sin that's burdening you. Ask him to teach you a lesson in the middle of whatever suffering or circumstance you find yourself in. Ask him to do something in this church, more salvations, baptisms, church planting, and then ask him to do something in our region, like literally thousands of new churches and revival that takes over Southern California. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop talking here in a minute, and you're going to get up in your groups and just spend 4 or 5 minutes in prayer, and then I'll close this out here in a second. So I'm going to invite the band to come up and just lightly play under our prayers. Come on up, Sean and everyone else. And so ready, go. Let's pray.